Chime, rise and shine.
It's time for Early Break, brought to you by Sand Hills Global, live from Lincoln, America. Here's Jake Sorensen.
Did seem kind of meh.
Husker Online, Steve Sippel.
Surprisingly good.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
I want to buy a couple ducks. I'm bringing two ducks to the office.
This is Early Break.
Good morning, happy Tuesday to you, Steve Sippel, Jake Sorensen with you, Bill Bush out today. We'll get to that in a second for his departure, why he's not here. Sip, have you survived the epic rain that we've had the last couple
God's
days? I've got some numbers for you. I had ammunition off
just
the bat.
Hold
here.
On, let's address a couple things.
What?
Yesterday, of course, there were all these threats.
It's fine, go ahead.
Threats of horrifying weather. Once again,
there was some horrifying weather, just wasn't here.
Right.
Okay. Don't bash Reed Timmer and our the Doppler friends that were next door, because it didn't happen here.
I know that's fair, and I'm glad you. I'm glad you interjected.
Thank you. I had to.
I was told yesterday, so I don't have a computer. My laptop is on the fritz. Well, it's not on the fritz. It's done. It's gone. That computer is done. So I don't have a laptop till probably Thursday or Friday.
So how are you typing up your stuff right now?
Well, this is what I was getting at. Good question. Thank you. We have an office, Husker Online, at the post office, third floor.
I've seen that.
Yeah. So I have a station there. I'll call it a station computer. What do you call it?
Like a laptop,
a desk,
like a desk, a desk, like
a
this,
desktop.
Desktop.
Yeah, desktop. So I have a desktop.
You're going back in time, aren't you?
Yeah, I have a desktop computer there, so I just have to work there. But yesterday, of course, Sean Callahan, Sip, they're going to evacuate the post office.
Oh, because of the storm.
Yeah, because I don't know. I mean, you can work there, but they're probably going to have to evacuate, and you got to go down to the basement. So it's 2:00, and I need to get things done. I got to get crap done, man. And he's like, well, you can go there, but, I mean, it's going to be nothing happened at all.
No,
I was there from 2 to 5 working in silence. It was nothing. I didn't even hear wind.
We had some rain. We had a little bit of thunder, a little bit of lightning.
Some thunder, yeah.
But nothing that would evacuate a building or send it to the basement. Now, there was some tornadic activity down toward Wymore and Odell.
All right, I'm sensitive to that.
That's south of Beatrice.
Yes.
Beatrice had like 6 inches of rain yesterday.
Mm-hmm. What I heard is it was staying south. The rough
yes,
stuff.
Yes, it was. You are correct. Fall City, Pawnee City got hit pretty hard, I believe, last night.
Okay, and I'm sensitive.
And into southwest Iowa as well.
I'm not being insensitive.
But no, in terms of what appeared to be an odd day ahead for us with the Doppler on Wheels truck over here.
We had Doppler on Wheels.
Plus, Reed Timmer was over here at the Embassy Suites.
I think there are three separate storm-chasing entities in town. And that added to the weirdness. Yeah. So that added to the... Yeah, and we saw those big trucks outside the Hampton.
The Dow.
And then I saw Reed Timmer's truck.
Yep.
And then when you see that, what do you think? Oh, boy.
We're in for it. Sean was right. But he wasn't. It got too cold. At 1 p.m., it was like 56 degrees. You can't have an epic storm with that.
It didn't feel like storm.
It got too cold, and it was before the rain came, and just it kind of stopped things from happening here.
Listen to us talk about
we are meteorologists at heart.
What do you got for us?
Well, I got some numbers for you in terms of the rain. This is from the National Weather Service. They have estimations over the last, since Saturday morning, Beatrice, 6 to 8 inches of rain.
Wow.
Lincoln, 3 to 4 inches. Nebraska City, 4 to 6 inches of rain. Fall City, 3 to 4. Omaha, 2 to 3 inches. Columbus, your stomping grounds, 2 to 3 inches of rain. Way up north, Sioux City, 2 to 3 inches. Fremont, same thing. So eastern Nebraska got good rain.
I think it's over, though.
It is done. Might be some rain Thursday or Friday as well this week, but nothing like this for storms purposes.
Yeah, 'cause the storms about killed me.
Attention to the basement almost in the Husker Online building.
It was bad.
The post
I know it was bad. Other place. I Missing Tooth Greg this morning informed me of something I did not know. His neighbor He said, yeah, Roger practically lives at the mall this time of year when there's hail threats. I'm like, what? He goes, well, yeah, a lot of people drive over to that Westgate Mall.
Okay.
North of Dillard's, there's that parking garage. And people just go over there and park while there's...
Over here?
Yeah, where there's...
Gateway Mall.
I'm sorry.
Not Westgate.
Why do I call it Westgate?
I don't know.
Does anybody call it Westgate?
That's Gateway.
Gateway. Anyway, Gateway. They go into that parking garage, and there was like a line of 80 cars the other day waiting to get in. I had no idea that was a thing.
I have parked there many times in the past.
When there's a storm?
No, just... Yeah. That's why I usually park at that mall.
Yeah, I've parked there a couple times in my lifetime, but I did not know that was a ground that people seek.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
That's news to me. Yeah. I understand it, but
I do too.
Did not know that. Thank you for that intel.
Yeah. I was fascinated by that. Missing Tooth Greg just dropped it in conversation.
Well, thank you to Greg. Hopefully he's here on Friday for Tradio.
Radio Tradio?
Yeah, Radio Tradio.
He'll be here. Trust me.
Well, he needs to be here because we gave away a sprinkler that wasn't supposed to be given away or traded away.
Easy. He's even talking about breakfast.
We welcome that as well.
That got Connor's attention. He's talking about biscuits and gravy.
I'm down for that. We'll have that. Last night, did not watch this at all, but Connor informed me, and so did Farley, of an epic game in the NBA last night. The Spurs, who have had the Thunder's number all year long in the NBA.
4-1.
Yeah.
They go on
the road in game one in double overtime. 122-115 Spurs over the Thunder. Wembanyama, 41 points and 24 rebounds for the Spurs. I repeat, 41 points, 24 boards for the big man from France.
So I watched the first half at Wings and Rings. Me and Alex went to Wings and Rings last night, saw the first half. It was a great, great first half. That was in Oklahoma City, by the way.
It was.
That game.
A place that we love.
We do.
That arena means a lot to me.
By the way, means a lot we to do me. Have some idle chit-chat.
That,
to
that
get
arena
to.
Means a lot to me, Sip.
And then...
Don't tear it down.
I'm not... Oh, they are tearing it
down. I don't want them to. I'm going to buy a piece of the arena before it goes.
We were there and Sean came in. How about that? Sean came in with some device that you would probably know, this thing.
They're called the AirPods. EarPods. Yeah.
He came in with this and gave it. He came in. He was at Best Buy getting my computer.
Yeah.
He was at Best Buy purchasing me a computer, then stopped in because he knew Alex and I were there.
AirPods.
And he brought me AirPods.
That's very kind.
$16. I've never used them.
So they're nice.
You're going to have to show me how to do that.
Okay, it's very simple.
Is it? That's what he said.
You use it with your phone.
Yeah, he's tired of me talking on my speakerphone.
Yeah, well, that's a hint right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't mind to hear you talking. Doesn't want to hear the other person talking.
Yeah.
That's your privacy.
In other news, I've mentioned our trips to Memphis.
Yes.
And I don't know that I mentioned it enough, but so we always talk about our next trip, you know, with Alex.
You went to Milwaukee this year.
Yeah, our next NBA trip with the grandkids. And I was talking about Memphis, and the conversation winds around to this place called the Flying Fish, which is a great, 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 great seafood restaurant downtown Memphis. And it closed.
Oh, no.
Closed after 18 years.
Oh, no.
Years. That's the final straw. I'm not going back.
You can't go back to Memphis?
No, you can't really go back.
What about the Peabody, though?
No.
The ducks at the Peabody.
Yeah, that's fine. Flying Fish is right.
The cold.
Right across the street.
The cold water that never heated up for your showers.
Yeah. The Flying Fish. This is a funny story, by the way. Not funny if you're a Memphis person, but funny to me. Flying Fish is closing after 18 years in downtown Memphis, blaming civil unrest.
Yeah.
For declining sales.
We saw that, I think.
In a statement on its website, the restaurant said, "We have struggled to keep our doors open, but the civil unrest downtown has stunted sales for the past several years to a point of no return." The statement continued, "Our hope is that downtown Memphis can one day soon again be of the vibrant beacon of culture, commerce, and creativity it has been for centuries." Mm. I love that place. Now, Jared Price of the Downtown Neighborhood Association just went.
This is in Memphis.
Yeah, in Memphis, just fired back. It said it might be due to your inability to stay relevant as newer, more exciting dining experiences have come downtown and are booming.
Are we talking about Beale Street here or what?
Close to Beale Street. Okay. It's close to Beale Street. It's right down the block.
I probably walked near this place.
Yeah, probably walked by Flying Fish.
Yeah, I had a bad moment in Memphis.
Okay, well, don't tell me. I'm just getting to the end of this story. It's funny. Then Jared Price of the Downtown Association goes on and on about how these new restaurants have adapted and they're opening. And then the story quotes a couple people, you know, like anonymous people, just Memphis residents saying they don't understand the fear and they think it's ridiculous. And then the last paragraph of the story reads, Memphis has seen a deployment of federal agents, state officers, and National Guard troops in recent weeks to help local law enforcement downtown. They brought in the National Guard.
You know,
it's not so bad down here.
Nothing to see here.
We're bringing
Move
in the
along.
Feds and the National Guard.
Nothing to see here. I will say,
somebody had a good sense of humor with that story.
I never felt in danger in Memphis when we were there three years ago.
Yeah,
3 years ago. I didn't
was it
feel
3 years ago.
Yes,
3 years. 3 years ago. We were ago there, yeah.
I did not. Yeah, I felt fine, but I told you. This is on the air. I'll remind you again. I had the stupidest ending of a trip to Memphis ever. So Nebraska loses to A&M, and our hotel is booked through the weekend. And I check out. I think I have booked a rental car to drive back to Nebraska. I've gone to the website. Rental car you can pick up over here at, you know, Enterprise, wherever. So I check out of my hotel with my bags. I think I had two bags, and I'm walking, you know, just walking down to basically, let's go down to Beale Street, walk a half mile down the Beale Street, and I get some breakfast. Eat some breakfast, and I'm going to Uber over to the, rental car place.
Yeah.
And I go to check in. I said, I don't see any cars here. And I see a long line of people.
No, oh boy.
I get there. No, I have checked out of my hotel, and I have bags with me. I go to the place, like, yeah, we haven't had cars for a week.
Oh, boy.
Because so I was able to reserve through Enterprise or whatever it was. I went on the website, and it didn't say, like, we're out of cars. It just said, hey, yeah.
You can book.
Come pick your car up around 2, because they're so swamped, they don't keep up with that stuff, because they have no cars. So here I am now in Memphis with no way to get home and no hotel room. On the weekend of the NCAA tournament. So I'm like, all right, how can I possibly make this time not as bad as it is right now? I went golfing. So I Ubered to a random golf course.
Yeah.
And I asked him, hey, can I put my bags over here while I'm going?
Oh, this is the famous story.
Yeah, I'm getting to it now. You know this part. Yeah. So I put my bags behind the bookshelf of merchandise. And then as I'm going to leave that spot where I have put the bags down, the entire bookshelf collapses. It fell down with trophies and all sorts of crap on it. And this is how I start my day. I guess it's about 2 p.m. at this point.
How did it happen?
It was kind of a flimsy little bookshelf. Yeah, but it looked, it had like trophies on it. It had, you know, thankfully it was mostly shirts and hats, so nothing really broke and the trophies did not break.
Yeah.
But it just went boom on the ground. I'm like, I need to leave. I need to get out of this town. Yeah. I need to leave. So I played golf. I still played. And I played well. Some random guys from Nebraska actually played with me.
Yeah.
Andy from, I believe, David City and his friend. I forget his friend's name. Okay. But that was a terrible day. And then thankfully my friend.
So how did you get home?
My buddy Mike said, hey, I hear you're having some problems. I left the room today, but I didn't check out. And so you can go stay in the room I was in last night and then figure out your way back home tomorrow.
What'd you figure out?
So I ended up going I ended up going to the airport and trying to book a flight. I Ubered to the airport. I didn't have a car. Ubered to the airport, booked a flight at like, 6 in the morning. And then went to Dallas and then to Lincoln. And that's
costly?
How I got home. I mean, I was on the company car. So it was like probably $800. Yeah, it was not cheap.
Whoa, really?
Not cheap.
No,
that's 600, maybe $600. Yeah. But the point is that went well, and I got out of Memphis.
God damn.
For what had been a disastrous trip.
There's no way to get a car in Memphis anywhere.
It was
hard.
They were out for a week on cars.
Yeah.
Nothing coming in, everything going out.
That's a story.
Yeah, that was not a good time.
The reason we were looking up Memphis is because apparently there was a poll of NBA players, one of those anonymous polls, and it was easily – Memphis was easily the choice of the city that players would like – would most not want to play in. I get it. I get it. And I was like, Alex, you know, I play that Babe in the Woods sometimes. Alex, why do you think that is? He's just like, come on. Come on. Come on.
Besides the Peabody, what do they have?
It's good, a fascinating
great
story.
Great barbecue, the Peabody, and then what else?
It's a fascinating story to me, actually, because I love the city. And I'd love to go back. But now the Flying Fish is closed.
Yeah, that one restaurant is going to keep you away.
Right. And that was a great place. And it played great, like, blues music. And they closed down.
Yeah, well, back to Denver you go. Denver. Maybe the T-Wolves get a chance in your trip.
Yeah, well, I don't like to go north that time of year. I mean, we went to Milwaukee, and it was colder than hell. I always say, let's go south. You know,
back to OKC you go.
Or Memphis or Oki City.
You just said you can't go to Memphis.
And I know. I mean, and I won't push for it anymore. The Flying Fish is – I mean, the only thing I'm telling them now, the three of them, Cashton and Dominic and Alex, to sell Memphis is we will stay at the hotel. We know which hotel where the visiting team stays. We'll stay where they're at. And, you know, you might catch a glimpse of Wimby or whoever we're seeing. And I don't think that's going to do it.
It seems like your best chance is going to be a consistent trip to Oklahoma City, a place that we love.
When they're the champions, the prices are super high.
I understand that. But it's not in the cold of the northern parts of this country.
No, the guys like Milwaukee.
Easy drive 6 hours down there.
Yeah, the guys like Milwaukee, but I was not. Like, it was cold, man.
I like Milwaukee, too.
Anyhow, that's that. I other idle chit-chat, I don't know that I have a Bill. We miss Bill, obviously. We'll
address that here shortly.
Push through without him. The weather, we're not supposed to get more rain, I don't
know.
No, think.
We're good. It's going to be a little chilly. I think in the 60s today for a high.
Till Friday.
Yeah.
Till Friday.
So kind of a little reprieve of the warm weather.
I love this time because all systems at the house are off. No AC, yep. no heat. It's glorious.
Saves some money, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Money saver time.
Yeah. It's now this will last till Friday. It's supposed to be 60. This is according to Missing Tooth Greg.
Oh, thank you, Greg.
Our weather reporter. Till Friday, it's supposed to be like this today. And then 80s. 80s and upper 80s going forward for the foreseeable future.
I think there's any chance of McSafety showing up today. It's been a few weeks for him with donuts.
I could use a long jump.
Just saying, McSafety, if you're around, we'd love to see you this morning, but if you're not, hopefully tomorrow. No pressure. By the way, quick tease, we will have Ron Revelle in studio in the 8 o'clock hour today as Nebraska plays Oklahoma State in the Super Regional Thursday, Friday for sure, and Saturday if necessary here in Lincoln at Bolden Stadium.
I have a series of questions for Ron. I hope you have.
Oh, I'm ready to roll.
Do you have questions?
I've seen two softball games in the last couple weeks in attendance. I mean, I have watched other ones. I have been in attendance at two. I mean,
right.
I have watched other ones as well.
I want you to proudly proclaim that to Ron. Yeah,
Ron, I saw you again on Saturday. Great coach you are. Energy was high once again.
Was she great again?
Oh, yeah. I'm maybe upset at the bats going a little cold, but very happy with the pitching. She should have been.
She calls the pitches, you know.
And she is... She helped allow one run in three games. That's it.
We need to address that with her. It's Alexis Jensen and Jordy Fromm.
Yes.
That's who carries the water.
We'll address that for sure.
Yeah. She calls the pitches, does Rhonda Revelle.
And you write the songs, Barry Manilow.
The Copacabana. I forget. Now that song is, I was thinking about it this morning. That song.
Well, it's a well-written song, isn't it?
It is.
The story. And it just sounds happy the whole time.
It's fascinating.
You know, me as a guy that doesn't listen to lyrics, I just think, oh, it's a very happy song.
Nope.
Copacabana.
She loses her Tony and she loses her mind.
Who shot who?
Yeah, and then they're packing. Obviously, guys are bringing guns into the Copacabana.
What the hell happened here? What's going on at this place?
Everybody got a gun? Is that what's going on at the Copa? Everybody's packing at the Copa.
Why do you want to go to this place? Yeah. Sounds terrifying.
Shooting each other over women.
Not good.
Barry's singing it with a smile. Very.
Yes. One last thing, idle chit-chat. No golfing last night. I don't have a report because it got rained out. Because six inches of rain prevented that, Sip. So I have no report for you from the golf links. I can tell you the Royals once again lost because they're terrible. They're starting a 9-game homestand. Trying to dig back out of the...
9-game
homestand. They're in the basement. They were 20 and 27 going into yesterday. They had beat the Cardinals to avoid a sweep and make it... That would have been 7 straight losses in general. So they beat the Cardinals Sunday, 2-0. Mm-hmm. Decided, you know what? That was fun. Let's go back to losing, though.
Is there any thought taking your daughter and wife down to Kansas City during the 9-game homestand? Well,
potentially thought about Memorial Day, maybe. Monday.
Really?
I thought about it. We're not sure yet at this point. They play the Yankees, who they haven't beaten in about 47 years in any game at all. So I'm not sure I want to see that. The Red Sox have like the worst offense in baseball. They only scored 3 runs. But the problem is the Royals scored 1. 3-1 Royals lose last night.
3-1.
And now they're 20-28. So, Sip, the Phillies fired their manager 20 games ago as they were terrible.
They did?
But guess what? Since they fired him with Don Mattingly now in charge, they're 16-4 their last 20. And right now back in the NL East race. Now the Braves are running away with that division, but they're still right now a wild card team. 16-4 since the firing of their manager. Yet the Royals sit here and say, we like this. This is great. We'll figure it out when it's on. You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with discounts that are easy to come by. In fact, 99% of their auto customers earn at least one discount. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary. August, no one cares anymore. It's already way out of the picture. September, we'll play spoiler. That sounds fun. No.
Calm down.
Fire everybody. Wait, what do you got?
Oh, no, we're good. Go.
That is Idle Chit Chat, sponsored by our friends at 738 Ag. They don't guess, they game plan using soil tests, yield maps, and field data. They help farmers call the right shots for their ground. Learn more today at 738AgLLC.com. Joey and the team in Bertrand.
All right, that's Joey.
Yes. Now, before we move on, we have to address this. Bill is not here this morning. Told us to mention this on the show, and this is never really easy, Sip, to mention. But we have to. Bill's mother passed away yesterday, Sharon.
Sharon.
Now, you and I were lucky enough to meet Sharon.
We did.
One time at Sydney's wedding. Sydney and Alex's wedding out east of town.
And she was...
And she was incredible.
Regal.
Regal is right.
She is. I'm serious. She had a way, and she was very kindly, as was Ron. Bill's family is that way.
Very kind people.
They are. I'm serious. Sister.
Yep. Tamara.
Yeah. So.
Shindani also.
Our thoughts are with that family. And we miss Bill. And.
Yeah. You know. I will not give out his number, but if you do have it, feel free to send condolences to him. Text him, whatever. But never easy, obviously, terrible to lose anybody in your family. But.
Bill would want us to push on.
Yes, we will. R.I.P. to Sharon Bush. Wonderful person. Glad we met her. And,
oh, God, I'm glad. Yeah.
And this was not sudden. She'd been in hospice for a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. It didn't make it any easier, but just it was not as sudden.
No.
But R.I.P. to Sharon. That is why Bill is not here today. 464-5685. Call or text as always. Saw this from CBS Sports.
This is beautiful.
Sip, we love CBS Sports. They really are the kings of the offseason.
And they
on three does a nice job as well. I'm not
bashing
your employer.
Yeah, let's not go with kings of the offseason.
But I get so many more fun topics from CBS Sports, and I get plenty from on three.
You better quit while you're behind.
But you don't have Tom Fernelli. He did not write this, but
this was good though. This was good.
Now,
go ahead.
We have already kind of discussed where Nebraska sits in the rankings next year. Nebraska was number 35 in the top 138 that was posted last week by CBS Sports. And he did a dive that equated to Nebraska being 10th in the Big Ten, which is where they were in the rankings yesterday from CBS Sports. Mm-hmm. But that's not the point I want to get to, Sip. Nebraska wasn't 10th. There was a comment made on why Nebraska's 10th and what's going forward for them. Mm-hmm. And this is what CBS Sports said. The Huskers aren't close to joining the Big Ten's top tier. But the trajectory under Matt Rhule continues to trend upward, even if some in Lincoln disagree. They go on to say that Nebraska, under Matt Rhule, has snapped a 7-year bowl drought 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Last year had more conference wins than any of the previous 8 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And now the benchmark is 8 wins done just one time since Bo Pelini was fired. And that was, of course, when Mike Riley did that in 2016, a 9-win team for Nebraska. So back to the comment they had. Not close to joining the top tier. We're not surprised about that. But they claim that the trajectory under Matt Rhule continues to trend upward, even if Link fans in Lincoln disagree.
Even if
some in Lincoln might disagree, how do you assess that?
Well, it's fair. I mean, I always tell you I'm looking for fairness. I always seek fairness in this world, okay? And I do think the conversation surrounding Rhule trends towards unfair in a lot of quarters. The raw data does suggest that it's trending upward. Just raw data, like they present it. What was Frost's final year?
3-9? Oh, no, was it?
4-8.
4-8. Thank you. Yeah. 4-8.
He threw a 3-9.
He did have a 3-9, though, yeah.
What was Frost's final record? 16-31.
Yes.
Okay. 16-31, 19-19. That's better. It's not. There's a simple way to do this without creating uncomfortable conversations at dinner tables or wherever. There's been progress. I think most people or a lot of people would suggest not enough. There's been progress. You can't say there's not. There's no way you can say there hasn't been progress. There's no fair way to argue there hasn't been progress. 4-8, then 5-7, then 7-6, and 7-6. Back to the bowl games. That's progress. And so I see sometimes why Rhule is sort of confused. Like, what's the deal? There's just a lot of people would say there just hasn't been enough of it. And then, of course, what happens is that conversation spirals from there. And it's also fair to say they ended last year with a thud. And it was very disappointing the way they lost those games. And it's also fair to say there's a dalliance with Penn State, right?
Yes.
That resulted in an extension. Then those three losses followed. So the discussion got uncomfortable. And then here we are. But you can't – now, if you're not in the vortex of the storm like us, you're Cody Nagel, and you're far from the vortex. God only knows where he's at. Where do you think he's at? Where would you guess?
I know he's from the Sioux Falls area.
Oh, so – that's unfortunate that he's kind of close to the vortex.
Yeah, he is from Sioux Falls. Yeah.
But he's probably not thinking about Nebraska every day like us. He's not in the vortex of the storm. So if you're not in it, you can assess it and say, these people are crazy. They were horrible under Frost. Frost was 16-31. It went bad. I mean, they were 3-9. Then they're 4-8. And now their records are better.
Yeah, I think it comes down to this, Sip, in terms of if fans would be more willing to say that progress is no doubt happening, if they could simply be okay in the month of November. They don't end
2-10.
They don't end the season well. Under Scott Frost, not good November. Under Mike Riley, not very good November. I mean, obviously they were 7-0 the year that they won 9 games. November was bad. They have not been good in November since Bo.
No, I know.
Like, it's been a problem for 10 years plus.
Right. That's
and that's
problem.
Why you made very few bowl games
and
in
then,
that stretch.
And then look at this schedule in November, late October, November. It is rugged.
You're at Illinois on a Friday night. You have Rutgers.
At Rutgers.
You have Ohio State.
Uh-huh.
And then you're at Iowa. Ohio State's in Lincoln.
Tell me that is wicked rough. Wicked rough.
But I would tell you, though, on paper, yes, it is rough. But on paper, we looked at these rankings here. Nebraska is right with Illinois. I know it's a road game, but you're not daunted by the crowd in Illinois.
No.
Rutgers is not a very good team.
No, they're not very
good. Ohio State is likely a loss in Lincoln. We know that, but it's a home game. And in Iowa, they've had your number. But, you know, Nebraska has one in Iowa in recent years when Bill helped lead the defense that win in 2022. Mm-hmm. It has been not been a pretty place for Nebraska for most of the times of their Big Ten lives.
Here's the deal.
But it's not an unbearable
no.
schedule in
no.
November.
No, it's
and
not.
Progress is simple. Hey, can you go 2-2? Can you maybe win two games in November?
It's fair.
I'm not asking for 3-1, certainly not 4-0, but can you get to 500 the month of November this year?
That's fair. Now, here's the deal. First of all, I don't have any problem with Nebraska at 10.
No, I think they're fine at 10. Yep, they shouldn't be higher. They should, I think they're perfect where they're at.
Illinois is 9. Now, Illinois, you're talking about Illinois, and they are, they have a new quarterback, Caden Hauser. He's an East Carolina transfer, but wasn't he at Michigan State, too?
Has he been that, to that this? That sounds right to
me. I think this is his third school. But anyway, they'll have a new look defense, too, as Aaron Henry moved on. He's now at Notre Dame. Aaron Henry was their defensive coordinator. He went to Notre Dame to be co-defensive coordinator. Aaron Henry's gone. So, in Illinois defense, as this points out, returns only 3 starters. They have only 3 starters and a new defensive coordinator. What's that going to look like? And a new quarterback. You can go win that game, right?
Well, then Iowa also has few starters back defensively.
Iowa's a huge transition year. They don't even know who their quarterback's going to be. They'll have a battle in camp.
They have a brand new defense also there. They have the fewest snaps of any FBS team. The fewest FBS snaps of any team.
Of any Power 4 team. That's right. So, yeah, as this article points out, Iowa's defense hasn't finished outside the top 20 in scoring since 2014.
Does that surprise you at all? They've lived on their defense. The year they won
2014? That's 13 years.
The year of Deacon Hill, Sip, they didn't have an offense. They had special teams that were elite, and they had defense that was elite.
I know they've been good, but I didn't know they haven't been outside the top 20 in 12-plus years. That's Phil Parker.
Have you seen a bad Iowa defense in recent memory?
Yes, sir.
No. So as Nebraska has fallen off, they have risen up, at least defensively.
Washington's at 7. Now, I did my deep dive on Washington yesterday. That's what I was doing at the post office.
Gnarly storm.
Yeah. I mean, there's some unrest in that program, Why, right? Is Damon Williams.
In January, he
about took off.
He re-signed a contract, then left, and then he came back, and I'm not sure people like they claim that things are going well there. I don't know if they are.
They were 9-4 last year. They're expecting to be a playoff team, but as I look at it, they're good, but that is the game you can win here. I mean, come on.
But that sets the tone for November. That is October. That's a Halloween night. Right? Mm-hmm. Halloween in Nebraska.
Yes, October 31. That's right.
And then if you win that, it's potentially a ranked win. They have a chance to be a ranked team at that point, was Washington does.
Uh-huh. The good.
So you get that monkey off your back. And then now you're headed November with some positive momentum.
It'll be.
Which is legit. It's a real thing.
It is. Here's the deal with Washington. They do have 4 offensive line starters back with Damon Williams. So that sounds daunting, right? 4 offensive line starters back with Damon Williams. But their skill, they don't have a lot of it. They lost their top 2 running backs. They thought they're going to have a guy back that was pretty good, Adam Mohammed, and he just out of the blue transferred to Cal.
No, they lost their star receiver to the draft,
Denzel Boston,
first-round pick or early second-round pick.
And they don't have a Denzel. And they don't appear to have a Denzel Boston replacement.
It's hard to replace a high draft.
That's true. But their skill looks ordinary. They're gettable. Damon Williams, the guy's name is Andy Yamashita of the Seattle Times was saying, they lost to Michigan and he threw 3 picks in that game. Damon Williams threw 3 picks. And then against Wisconsin, he didn't play well, but he said it was a snow game and he's not used to playing in snow. You better hope for cold. I don't think Damon Williams likes the cold snow.
Well, it could be cold on a Halloween. You never know.
Well, hopefully for Nebraska, you hope it is. He's an Arizona kid.
We'll probably do this later on in the summer, but if I had to circle a game, I think is the turning point of the critical game of the season, it's Washington.
What, really?
It's not Maryland or Michigan State. It's not Indiana or Oregon. I don't think they're going to win those games. So, but How do you bounce back after likely losses to Indiana and Oregon? Washington's that team. That is the
You get a bye before then.
I know, but Washington is the team before you get to the month that's killed you.
Right.
So I'm saying I'm circling Washington is the most important game of this season. Because if they do start off 5-0, which people think is possible, yes, with Ohio, Bowling Green, North Dakota, Michigan State, Maryland, all winnable games, you'll likely be favored in all five, right? Likely?
Yeah.
Probably losses, not guaranteed, but probably losses to Indiana, Oregon. You're 5-2, then a bye week. Once again, Washington confirms a bowl game if you win that game, mm-hmm. and it gets you maybe a ranked win if they're ranked. And then you think, probably. Okay, why can't we go into November and actually win some games?
Washington, I bet, will be ranked. Their schedule's not much. In fact, you know what? You can do this if you want. If you pull up their schedule, I think they have a good chance to be undefeated coming into Lincoln. Now, they got to win at USC, I think, is the big one. But look at their schedule. And while you're looking at that, I'm not agreeing with you on Washington
That's fine.
Being the big game. I think Indiana is the game. That's the game.
That's the most important of the season?
To me, it is. I don't know how to characterize. To me, in my mind, it'll tell me the most. Because, well, we'll see. I mean, I'm kind of taking for granted that Nebraska can get past Michigan State and Maryland and be undefeated going into the Indiana right. game. And then
prove that that's real.
Prove it's real. Yeah. Indiana shouldn't be as good as they've been.
They'll be good, though.
Oh, they'll be good.
It's Siggs. The guy knows how to dominate the run game and just obliterate
we'll
you.
We'll see what they got. If I believe that is the biggest game, not Washington.
But do you hear why I'm saying Washington? Because
you're counting on a loss to Indiana.
No, I am.
Which I'm not.
But 5-0, I don't want to see 5-0 crippled to have a 7 straight game losing streak to end the season. If you've got two really tough games back-to-back, home against Indiana and at Oregon, and then a bye week.
I think...
Can you bounce back and say, all right, that was rough. We're 5-2. Let's beat Washington. Let's get back to 6-2. We're going to a bowl game. And now, why can't we beat Illinois? Why can't we go to Rutgers? Ohio State, tough game, but we can beat them. And then at Iowa. Have some momentum in November for
okay,
once.
Okay, hold on. See, that's why I'm selling
Indiana.
And that's
what Washington sets up then.
No, I'm selling Indiana because that would give you momentum earlier in the schedule, and it would give you some confidence going into Eugene. So I'm saying I'm sticking with Indiana. Now, what's Washington? Are they going to be undefeated coming in here?
Okay, Washington will open with Washington State. Not a gimme, but they should win that game.
Yeah.
Utah State, that'll be interesting, but should win. Eastern Washington should win that 3-0.
Those are all in Seattle. They don't lose in Seattle hardly anymore.
Then their home against Minnesota should be 4-0. Then they go to USC. That could be a loss. Could be 4. I'm gonna give them a loss. 4-1.
Okay.
Then they host Iowa. Win or lose, it's in Washington.
Yeah.
They'll beat Iowa. Okay. 5-1. Then they go to Purdue.
They'll beat Purdue.
6-1. Then they head to Nebraska. Okay. They're 6-1 going to Nebraska.
6-1 or 7-0.
Probably 6-1.
You don't like him against USC.
No. It's at USC.
Okay.
Take the Trojans.
6-1 or 7.
Take the Trojans.
So Washington will be
ranked. I'm not counting Iowa as a given, right? Win for Washington right now.
I'm not either.
I'm not an Iowa fan.
Hold on.
Saying
they don't lose in Seattle. They've lost two games, and it's been the only games they've lost with Fish are in Seattle or Ohio State and Oregon. And then look at DeBoer's record in Seattle. It was ridiculous. They don't lose in Seattle.
Well, we pointed out that Iowa, their conference schedule is brutal the first three games of Michigan, Ohio State, and Washington. That program does not start off 0-3 very often in conference play. That's why I don't just say, hey, they're going to go down to Seattle at 0-2 and lose that game.
Anywho, back to this was a good job by, we could go back to it later, but Cody Nagel's rankings. I thought they were good. I thought it was interesting to read. It's good to get caught up a little bit or your mind refreshed. And I think it's good sometimes just to see somebody nationally write something somewhat positive.
That was
Nebraska.
Positive. Yeah, it was.
Yeah. There's a lot in this. Like right away. See, this kind of stuff gets your attention. Ohio State, 29 draft picks over the last three cycles. Ohio State, 29 draft picks over the last three cycles. The only other teams to do that are Georgia and Texas. So that's where, God, I mean, it's not surprising, but it's a reminder. Those are the teams that are pumping the NFL. Georgia, Texas, Ohio State. Who else? I mean, the normals, Bama, probably Notre Dame, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then they're he picks them number one in the Big Ten, which is somewhat debatable. Oregon brings back 8 starters on defense. That's the thing to keep in mind. Plus Dante Moore at quarterback. Oregon is 17-1 in regular season conference play in the 2 seasons it's been in the Big Ten.
That pretty good?
It's pretty good.
Pretty good to me.
It's pretty good. I mean, then he has Indiana. He has Indiana 3rd.
And here's 6th. All right, look at that disrespect already. Third, yeah. 3rd's not bad, but 3rd's not one for a team that was undefeated last year in national champs.
One other thing. The USC pick at 4. Is this right? Cody Nagel writes, no coach enters 2026 with more pressure to win big than Lincoln Riley.
I believe that.
Is he atop that list?
Yes.
He's atop
that list. We talked yesterday about how much he's getting paid to get the beach house in California. They didn't pay him to just be average and above average at USC. He was paid there to go be like Pete Carroll and win championships. They have not really been close to that yet. So yes.
Right.
Absolutely, he has the highest pressure out there. He should.
There's no other coach in the country.
I don't think so. I mean, Kalen DeBoer, I guess, maybe at Alabama has high pressure, but he's got an extension, though, like a month or two ago. So, I don't know.
Mm. I'd say DeBoer.
But he just got extended, though.
Well, I don't care. I don't care about that. But why? Because those contracts get blown.
I know.
Why do you fall
it's
for that?
I'm just saying.
You got an extension.
DeBoer or Riley are probably 1-2 in
that
pressure.
That extension guarantees nothing. Guarantees nothing.
It's just a
look
of support.
Now, hold on. If they go 8-4, nobody's going to say, well, we just extended.
Look of support. For those who are bashing it, it's a vision of, hey, we support. We know that people don't believe this. We support our guy. He's going to get it done.
I don't ever pay attention to that stuff.
Well, I'm just telling you
if they throw a 9-3 even, those boosters down there go, well, we just extended him.
I understand that, but it was a show of support.
I get that.
Before we get to break, if you are hungry, sip for breakfast, brunch, or lunch in downtown Lincoln, where should the Breakers go this morning?
The Bird.
Early Bird's open right now until 2 p.m. every day of the week.
Connor's so disappointed.
At 19th and K with free and spacious parking. They have breakfast tacos, breakfast nachos, waffles, French toast, pancakes, and the world famous hash holes.
Hash holes.
Hash holes. Stop by today, Early Bird, 19th and K, open until 2 p.m. every day of the week. When we come back, a stat that is very impressive for Nebraska baseball.
Oh.
Nationally. We'll tell you what it is next on Early Break on the Ticket.